All right, everyone, welcome back. This is the Pleb Underground. I'm your host, Coin Icarus, joined by my co-host, Walton, and we are going to dive into something pretty controversial that's going on right now on Twitter, right? Because let's face it, you know, we don't just have the shitcoin corner, we don't just have the hopium, we also have a lot of Twitter drama that we got to cover. And it just seems like this story with Matt Corallo kind of standing up for the VC point of view in regard.
All right, this is the politicized niceness that I talked about in our first episode. We've got to be really careful here about how people are trying to frame conversation.
Yes, exactly. That's very well said. Got to be careful of how people are framing the conversations. So look, grab some tweets. All right, so sit down, grab your favorite drink, favorite smoke, whatever it is that you're doing, chill out, and we're going to take a look at some interesting tweets, interesting websites, and put together a story which I think is not so obvious to everyone, right? Because, again, you know, some people tend to put others on their shoulders as heroes, and in Bitcoin, we have no heroes. There's a reason for this. Anyways, Walton? We're going to dive into, before we dive into the Matt Corallo tweets, okay, we're going to start off with a tweet by Grubles. I love his takes quite often. Here we go. Sellouts are attacking Bitcoiners because there's been more than 45 billion in exploits or scams on Ethereum just in the past 2 years alone. They need a scapegoat, and Bitcoiners are a leaderless group that cannot respond in any official manner. The perfect punching bag. Very well said. Very well said. Now, you know, people might be wondering, you know, why we're talking about this particular tweet. And it's because none of us are better than our incentives. None of us.
I think it's all about incentives, Phil. Like for me, I read the word sellouts and I thought that's enough, because actually what this is all about, and I think Matt Corallo is another example of this, is where someone is trying to morally justify selfish decisions they're making, and they're putting out speech that is essentially PR to frame what they're doing in a way that makes it acceptable to themselves. They are selling out, and the only way for them to be comfortable with the decision that they're making is to frame it in a way where they're not doing something that is potentially ethically wrong.
That's exactly right. And let's before we dive into the major part of the commentary, let's go through this whole story so that everybody gets a clear picture of what we're talking about. Because right now we're doing all of this minus the context. So here we go. So here's the tweet thread from Matt Corallo. We're going to go through it. Number one, Bitcoin maxis are a dying breed. While there was a time where everything except Bitcoin was basically a scam, that's still true. That hasn't been true for a long time. No, that's not true. Anyways, and the smart money has moved on to figuring out which projects are going somewhere and which are straight pump and dumps. See, this is where the whole validation by association starts coming in. Oh, so you're saying that some of these shitcoin projects are valid. Anyways, number two, this is particularly damning to Bitcoin because instead of its most vocal proponents explaining why Bitcoin is great and unique, its most vocal proponents spend all their time just attacking other projects. That's honestly just a matter of opinion. I wouldn't say that that's actually.
We mainly laugh at them.
I'm sorry.
We laugh at them. We don't attack them. Yeah, we exactly. Laugh at them. Like, we don't attack them. We don't need to attack them. Like, there's enough hackers who are attacking these broken things anyway.
Exactly. So sure, some of them are scams and may deserve it, but it doesn't help BTC. No, all of them are scams because none of them need to be money. None of them need to have a token to provide their service or product. Anyways, I continue. Number three, the narrative wars are coming. Arguably, are already here. With ETH, finally, that is in serious asterisks because it hasn't moved to proof of stake, but ETH finally moving to proof of stake, or piece of shit, as I like to call it. People who've only heard about how POS won't work from Bitcoiners will have even less reason to care about what Bitcoiners have to say. And because of the us versus them culture that has developed in cryptocurrency, many ETH folks, like Ripple before them, will move on to lobbying regulators to make it harder and harder to access Bitcoin because proof of work boils the ocean. Oh, we should all just give up, right? Just like BitBoy said once upon a time. Oh, you know, they're getting too loud, the proof of stake people, the ESG people. We just need to give in. Fuck that, okay? No, you don't just give in, okay? We don't just go goose stepping into our own frickin' prison again. Anyways, focus on why Bitcoin is unique. Talk about the difference of approach and conservatism, and a focus on why Bitcoin is the only real candidate as a truly neutral currency for the internet. Point out how funding models change neutrality, but don't call that a scam, because it's not. Because some people unnecessarily feel called out. No, just thinking Bitcoin is cool and other things are less interesting isn't the problem. It's thinking everything else is a scam just because it's different, rather than has a different goal. So if it has a different goal, why is it pretending to be money? SQL isn't pretending to be money. Adobe isn't pretending to be money. They're not issuing tokens so that you can go out into the Adobe ecosystem and pay everyone for pictures in Adobe coin, right? SQL transactions, they don't have tokens. This is such nonsensical bullshit, okay? And I'm so sorry that this is coming from somebody who, you know, has obviously developed on Bitcoin and was a major contributor and is a major contributor to Bitcoin. Anyways, moving on, because of course,
Phil,
you know, yes.
I feel like the first couple of points there was some things I want to respond to, and then it was all just like low testosterone like justification. Like, can we scroll up? I want to talk about a couple of specific things that he said. So in where's this? In point one, he references something called smart money. By smart money, he means things like VC money. Now, VCs have been doing shitcoin pump and dumps for longer than there has been shitcoins. They've been doing this for 20, 25 years, right? Silicon Valley
minimum
is full of these, you know, multi-billion dollar unicorn companies that IPO that aren't making profits. Pump and dump is what VC is all about, and so it's amusing that he references that, you know, smart money aren't looking for pump and dumps, when actually no, they're looking for the successful pump and dumps, because some of them aren't so easy to pump, and so therefore they can't do it with all of the shit coins. Only some of them will actually pump. Okay, yes. Now let's have a look at the next bit. Explain why Bitcoin is great and unique. Now, I don't think we do need to explain why Bitcoin is great and unique, because even you, Mr. Shitcoiner, recognize that it's great and unique. Okay. And also, you guys are all trading your shitcoins to try and acquire more Bitcoin, so go fuck yourselves. Number three.
Exactly.
So proof of stake won't work. Now, this is again, someone's trying to misframe what Bitcoiners are saying. Bitcoiners don't say proof of stake doesn't work. Bitcoin, what Bitcoiners are saying is that proof of stake is what we already have in the current system, and it works for a select few, those that benefit from the Cantillon effect. Now, what we're saying is that proof of work is a system upon which you can have fair, like, you know, fair acquisition. You don't have this Cantillon effect, or it's a one-time Cantillon effect, not one that can go on forever because there are people that can pull various levers to print more money. Bitcoin is scarce as an asset. It's finite as an asset. There will not be more than 21 million coins. And if I think that's why I'm here. Like, if there's ever consensus rules to change that, I'm out. Like, I'm not.
Yeah,
doing
no,
this.
We're done. What's the point? If you can change that, why are we here?
So then, okay, why is Bitcoin unique? Bitcoin is unique because it is the only independently verifiably scarce asset in the world. The only one. Because for all these shitcoins, you actually want to verify that you own them, then, like, you're going to have a serious cost for running a node. Like, most people can't even get an Ethereum node to run, even if they've got a lot of money, let alone like, you know, one of these Solana like things that require, you know, $250,000 and all this sort of shit. Like, it's just insane. Like, proof of stake is piece of shit, as you said, Phil.
That's right. Okay, so We're gonna move on from here because again, right? This was the whole point, right? You start to wonder why would somebody start to say all these things? And the picture gets a little bit clearer. So hold on, before we dive into that, we're gonna, because obviously we know that the rising star was thrilled to see somebody like Matt say what he said. So let's dive into Nick Carter's retweet. Brave and important.
Wait, have you not been banned by Nick Carter yet, Phil? Like, you should have been banned by him after.
Dude, he won't block me. I don't know why. I've been absolutely horrendous, and he just won't block me. And don't get me wrong, it helps. It helps because I get to read this stuff instead of having to use my alt account. Anyways, here we go. Okay, so Nick said, brave and important thread from Matt. This is an important cultural moment. Here we go. He's got the violin.
Stunning and brave.
Moment. Okay, Bitcoin doesn't need me, but it does need Matt Corallo, Bitcoin's longest tenured and most prolific core dev.
You know, hey, what? Luke Jr. called and he said, fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. You got to hand it to Nick, right? He's great at painting those narratives, and we totally appreciate his very creative, fantastic language when he's writing, because he also uses that language when he's writing to debunk FUD. So we can appreciate that. But anyways, this is just absolute nonsense. Obviously, you know, he knows that his VC lost a ton of money. Okay, they were invested in BlockFi. Just saying, no one's better than their incentives. None of us. All right. So
what's Peter that, Phil? I just thought of this. I think we now motion to call Nick Carter's company Shutter Island Ventures because they're all insane and are they there? Are they not? Are they patients? Like they don't know what's going on anymore. Shutter Island Ventures.
I like that. I like Shutter Island Ventures. It's actually a better name, to be honest. Interesting movie too. Anyways, okay. So here we go. Peter Todd, I don't really like Peter Todd's most of his takes because he's one of those people that every time, and this is the second bear market.
Yeah, he's wrong about bear market most I'm things.
And this is the second time that he brings up the inflation, right? Anytime Bitcoin goes into a bear market, he's like, oh, it should have inflation. Anyways, I digress. That's not why we're talking about this. He did have a funny take on Nick's tweet. Here we go. Matt Corallo, Bitcoin's longest tenured and most prolific core dev, with a bunch of laughing faces. The blue Matt has been around a long time and has done a lot of important work, but he's definitely not the longest tenured nor most prolific core dev. Nick is just making stuff up for clout. I could agree with this. Now, all right, this is where we dive into some of the signal behind all this. Why would a core dev write these things? So we're going to go take a look at Matt's profile. Matt's profile seems, you know, normal enough, right? Like all the rest of ours. Check it out. Mostly, it's not even the blue hair. That's lots of fun. This is the mostly reposting at Suna. The fuck is Suna?
All right, yeah, so I thought the same thing. And you click on it, and you're like, VC.
Yeah, there we go. Suna, founder and managing partner at Vault Capital. Oh my gosh, no way. A VC
okay, so imaginative that their company's initials are VC.
Let's go take a look at who's their world-class backers. Look at this. A16Z, Chris Dixon. Mark Andreessen, A16Z. Oh my gosh. Balaji, right? But wait, there's more.
Meltem! Like, Meltem was a massive red flag for me with Compass. Like, obviously there were a bunch of red flags, but like, Meltem was on the board there as well, and you're like, no, I'm staying well away from that.
And not only that, but just to add to that for the historical piece, Meltem was one of the people that was cheering the New York agreement to dismantle Bitcoin and essentially try to overtake it with Bcash. Okay, so she was part of all of this fuckery, okay, and continues to shill shitcoins to this day, and honestly just has zero self-awareness.
She's so fiat.
Exactly, like pure fiat. But my point is that these are their world-class backers. Right? And people.
World class scammers.
Thank you. World class scammers. And let's go take a look at A16Z's portfolio just quickly before we start to riff on this. Okay. Here's the A16Z portfolio. And let's take a look. We've got Avalanche, right? Ava Labs, that makes the Avalanche shitcoin. Okay. We've got Celo, Right? Cello is backed by the World Economic Forum and has this weird economic model called sacred economics, which I had actually discussed in the past on Simply Bitcoin. And we actually had Matt Odell on that show, and he was in complete awe of the ridiculousness of Cello. Anyways, we've got Compound that rug pulled for $147 million in 2021. Okay, we've got DM, which is the failed Facebook project. We've got Didex, which is some other garbage layer.
I get annoyed when they start like ripping off math. Like DYDX is a mathematical like notation, and like it's offensive. Like I heard there was a new coin called Euler, which is spelled EULER. Now Euler discovered some number. And like he has a special equation, which is e to the I pi plus one, and that's equal to the value of a shitcoin.
It's ridiculous. This is zero. This is complete. This is complete nonsense, man. Okay, we're almost done with this piece here. Definity is another layer on top of Ethereum. Okay, they don't actually do anything. Anyways, you've got MakerDAO, all right, which is another one of these complete scams. Essentially just providing liquidity for liquidity's sake. We've got OpenSea, which, don't get me wrong, I've torn NFTs apart enough times. It's a shitcoin. It's a shitcoin of a shitcoin. You have a JPEG that you have zero ownership of. You own the hash. You have nothing to do with the image. OpenSea is a place that fleeces noobs for JPEGs that they don't own. Okay? And then I think the icing on the cake to what they own are these two things right here. Polychain Capital, which if you go look them up, all they do, they essentially are like an employment hub for shitcoin developers, okay? And then my favorite
like Pomp's thing. Isn't Pomp's thing doing a similar, like his recruitment, or is that just for marketing people?
Oh, I have no idea what he's doing. But this is bad enough. Like, this is all just a bunch of shitcoin developers. Like, why doesn't Polychain Capital go and put any of this into Bitcoin? Because you can't control Bitcoin. That's the problem. With all of these shitcoins, they get to control the narrative. And then the last piece to this is Solana, right? Solana that pivoted and made a stupid phone that no one's ever going to use, that has had four outages in the last 2 months. So all of this to say, you always have to look at the incentives, guys. We always have to look at the incentives. Now, I'm not saying that Matt is a shitcoiner or anything like that. And even if he is, that's his business, okay? But we have to realize where these narratives are coming from. So why the attack on Bitcoin's culture, supposedly? Why the attack on Bitcoin's culture? It's because these people are coming from the other side. It's interesting, right? Essentially, these people are projecting the us versus them mentality and putting it onto Bitcoiners when Bitcoiners... So the whole piece to this is this, right? We don't care. Nobody, like, I've never given... I couldn't care less if you shitcoin. It makes no difference to me. It's completely irrelevant. I got wrecked shitcoining. I learned. But the point is that you don't go out and sell people these projects. You don't go and tell them this is like Bitcoin. Because it's not like Bitcoin. It doesn't have any of the qualities of Bitcoin. And it is a token searching for a use case. That's all it is. Anyways, Walton, what are your thoughts on this before we wrap up the segment?
When it comes to Solana, I think of FTX and I think of Sam Bankman-Fried. Now, Sam Bankman-Fried is a very dangerous man. He may look like, you know, a joke, but he's not. Like, this guy is bribing politicians on both sides of the aisle. He is the main kind of champion behind proof of work is bad for the environment. Proof of stake is better. Like Bitcoin can't scale. Bitcoin doesn't have much transaction throughput. He's pushing all of these things, and he's got a lot of money, and he's bribing a lot of politicians. So, guys, like the climate debate on proof of work, the energy consumption debate is just starting. You really need to all like you know, ironically, read a Nick Carter article. In fact, no, fuck Nick Carter. Like there's much better articles out there on energy. Like go check out Level 39. That guy's pretty good on energy. Go check out T-Bane, like Blockbane. There's a few good guys out there on energy. Go learn about how Bitcoin, like, you know, is in incentivizing the development of new, you know, renewable technologies, how it's using wasted energy in places where you can't transport that, you know, remote natural gas sources. Like, Bitcoin is good. It's a good thing it's using energy. It should be using more energy. I would argue Bitcoin is like the single best use of energy right now. Like, I'm burning all my clothes to feed my neighbors Bitcoin miners. Everything, all energy. I wonder if there's a way, like, when I die, if I can donate my body to a crematorium where they use the heat energy, like, to then generate electricity to then power Bitcoin miners. Like, I want to do that one day. Like, use more energy, like, and fuck Sam Bankman-Fried, and watch this attack. Like, seriously, learn the energy arguments. And be ready for normies, because unfortunately the normies fall, the no coiners fall for these shitcoiner framings where they're trying to say this is bad, this is better, and they don't explain, you know, the rest of it. Normies, no coiners fall for that. You need to be on the offensive. You need to be out there explaining why proof of work is good, what the alternative is, which is, you know, funding the military industrial complex that ultimately really backs, you know, fiat shit coins.
And I just want to, before we wrap this up, I just want to point out, okay, Meltem and Balagis, okay, they both, people will not remember this, but a couple of years ago, there was, for people who think that they may not be enemies of Bitcoin, I defer you to Nakamoto.com, which is not the same as NakamotoInstitute.com, but Nakamoto.com was a website that was created by a bunch of shitcoiners to essentially, I love Bitcoin, right? Going with the narrative, I love Bitcoin, here's my shitcoins. And they were, to us, they were literally trying to Trojan horse a whole bunch of noobs into thinking, hey, I'm learning about Bitcoin, but really, you're just being funneled into shitcoins. And you know something? We stood up to that so hard that it didn't even last a few weeks, and that website just went dead. You can still go check it out. There hasn't been a post in at least over a year, okay? And don't get me wrong, but yes, the Bitcoin maximalists should pat themselves on the back for that. Okay, because they stopped a whole bunch of noobs from getting fleeced in a bunch of shitcoins. Granted, they got most likely fleeced in DeFi and NFTs a little bit later on. Anyways, before we wrap this up, Walton, do you have any last thoughts?
Yeah, I think, like, in traditional finance, I've heard the phrase, don't buy the IPO unless you're in the IPO. The same thing, I guess, applies to shitcoins. You should never buy them. But the point is that the only people that kind of should buy them, or rather the ones who actually will benefit, are the people involved in the pre-mine, like the pre-IPO, like the VCs, the central elites of this little scam. Those are the ones that are going to benefit, not you who's just heard about this new thing. No, you've just been one of the first people to hear the marketing materials, not research, on a scam. So, like, and we said this last time, if you were late to Bitcoin, if you weren't smart enough to understand, you know, Bitcoin for a long time, stop trying to outsmart people who've been in the game longer, and, you know, who have the tools and the means to exploit you. Just don't do it.
Well, that's the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Check us out on Twitter at Pleb Underground. That's right. Got Walton. And guys, we will catch you all next time. Oh, and by the way, Matt Corallo is wrong about Bitcoin maximalists.